Welcome to the Flawed Podcast, where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Thank you very much, and welcome to this All English episode number 49. Today we are meeting Manuel Marquina. I pronounce his name like that because I've been watching Narcos a lot, and Manuel is not from Colombia, so forget about that. And Manuel is the marketing manager for Evernote in Europe. And of course we're talking a lot about what Evernote is, in case you have never heard about it. We're also talking about why it's hard to be productive in the modern workplace, the three overloads knowledge workers face. Most of us are knowledge workers in one way or another. We're talking about the challenges for new Evernote users. We also dig in a bit in Evernote for Business. So if you have a business considering Evernote, this one is definitely for you. Manuel also shares his specific tactics and strategies for using Evernote and being more productive. One of the strategies I found very interesting, he calls it the chill out strategy. And you have to listen to understand what it means. A full disclosure before we start this episode is that I am an ECC. That means I am an Evernote certified consultant, which in turn mean that I help people and organizations to use Evernote successfully for personal use or for their business use. So if you're interested, please send me an email, pl@flawed.se. You can also, of course, learn more on the site, flawed.se. All right, that's it. I hope you enjoy this episode, Evernote, the modern workspace. If someone asks you what you do, what do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that I work at Evernote. So I do work at Evernote as an account manager. Before that, I was working at Microsoft and NCR. And I work now at Evernote for 4 years already, and I'm leading the account manager and business development team, basically, from here out of our European headquarters in Zurich, Switzerland.
Perfect. So, Evernote, I love that app. But for the listeners, they might never have heard about it. Can you tell us what it is in your words?
Sure. Sure thing. I can't imagine anyone never heard of Evernote.
Yeah, me neither, but still.
There are still people out there. So Evernote, what is Evernote? Evernote is a workspace. So it's a place where people can work in it. It lets you capture, nurture, and share ideas across desktop and mobile platforms. And your thoughts and ideas are always with you, of course, and always accessible. Me personally, I do like the notion of looking at it like an atomic unit, philosophical here, but like an atomic unit, like it's a small thing, a note, basically, making a note of something. It's a small thing of can contain everything or nothing, and you can evolve it over time and make something big out of it. And that's what you do for personal and private and business life within Evernote.
Okay, that was very philosophical. That sounds like it can be anything.
Yeah, and actually, there's a funny story around that. Before, for the listeners who know Evernote already, they might remember that in the past, Evernote exists for 9 years now. And in the past, we had a tagline of saying Evernote, like save everything in it, like it's for everything for your life. Yeah. And though it is true, many people got confused because, I mean, saying anything is like saying nothing. It's hard to see what is it for. So we changed that and are still changing that and focusing really on the workspace, on being able to show people that Evernote, you can use that for writing down your notes, writing down your ideas in its most basic element. But then obviously it's much more than that. Those ideas evolve. You can collaborate within teams, within companies, and you basically work for your projects and your business life within Evernote instead of just working with files, which are quite counterproductive.
All right, so to summarize what it is, it's a note-taking app, but it can do so much more.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
All right. So you mentioned what I want to steer the conversation for, that we're working with files today. But let's start with the challenges that we have today and why it's so hard for us to work in the modern world.
Yeah, that's a really good topic. So we were looking at that quite a lot in the past time, and we see that there are a couple of big challenges, like a modern workplace that can be obviously within your team and company where you work. But I mean, we all do work somehow, so you do work as well in your personal life. So whenever you work, your workplace, your digital one, has a couple of challenges, and the bigger one of it is the data overload, a couple of overloads we have. So I would like to explain those in more detail. Mm-hmm. One is the data overload. Like when there is a file or a graph, Buckminster Fuller created, that's a guy which created 1982, I think it was. He created a really theoretical graph showing how long it takes until all knowledge of humanity doubles. Mm-hmm. And knowledge that can be a guide or how-to guide, that can be something from study or school to academics, papers, everything basically we create. And 100 years ago, 200 years ago, it happened every 100 years. So every 100 years, all knowledge of humanity doubled. Mm-hmm. And now, today, we're at 1 year. So at the end of every calendar year, everything humans created, all the knowledge humans created, doubles in size. So that's quite a lot. And IBM just recently published a study on top of it that by 2025, I think, we're going to reach 1 day. So at the end of the day, when we pack our suitcases, if we still have suitcases back then, we basically everything we had during the day is outdated or maybe old. Mm.
And that's challenging, of course. I really love Buckminster Fuller. He was 100 years ahead of his time, probably. And if you haven't heard about Buckminster Fuller, read up on him. He's a very interesting guy. He took also a lot of notes.
He did took a lot of notes. Yeah, it is really interesting. And basically what it says as well, that graph, is we don't have any way of avoiding this kind of information overload out there. Well, I mean, even on the private side, we always want to be informed. We consume news on an hourly basis or even more, and we want to stay informed. But at the same time, we have to, because we're more and more, our jobs are becoming knowledge work jobs, as we like to say. So there aren't a lot of routine workers or manual work involved anymore in the future so much. So we have to deal somehow with this information, because we use it to create projects and work and ideas. Mm. And it's hard to do, because we can't really remember a lot. Our brain kind of puts us something on a way, like an obstacle. Like I think just recently read that your memory can hold 4 things at a time.
Okay.
In your memory, like 4 things. It's not so much. So we need something. We need an external space outside of our brain to save knowledge, to save information, so we can let our brain do what it does best of connecting those pieces of information, creating something out of it, instead of just filling our memory with storing, basically.
So 4 things. Do you know if that's true for both female and males? Because I think females are better at doing things simultaneously while they think.
Like multitasking. Yeah, I multitasking. Really don't know. I would like to believe that, but I really don't know.
All right. So information overload, but we also have that we forget things easily, right?
True. We do forget easily. I mean, I like graphs. There is a second graph I could point you to, which is called the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve, I think is the name, which shows how long it takes until a human brain forgets new information. So by the time you took in new information while reading or talking to someone, how long does it take until you forget it? And it's not long. So I think 60% of new information is lost within the first hour. So it's quite drastic. And that's why as well, if you look at studying or schools and universities, you have these techniques like repetition, repeating things and learning things at home, writing down notes in your own words. This is all created to put this bar of forgetting higher and higher.
Yeah, we had a couple of episodes back, we had memory, or he is a memory athlete, and he's captain of the Swedish memory national team. So he taught us some tricks for how we can remember more. And, you know, brute force learning, just repeating over and over, is not really productive. But he mentioned spaced repetition, like a memory technique. And he was not, because he was a memory champion, he was not much for writing things down or at all. But I think there's a place for writing things down and having this external brain to trust it. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, but it's nice to have all this information available at your fingertips, which I think is really valuable. So
yeah, I agree.
Why should a listener here use Evernote? Why not pen and paper, for instance, which is an old technique?
It is. Very good question. It is. And well, they don't have to. It's not a if this or that question. Like, it's both. Pen and paper will never die. Maybe it has different forms in the future. But, I mean, it's the most creative way of bringing an idea, which maybe doesn't even have a form, into a form, like on paper. That's the best thing you can use to just use pen and paper. Mm-hmm. The problem with pen and paper is that it is a physical thing which you have to store somewhere, you have to put somewhere, you can lose it, and even more difficult, it's hard to connect it to all the other information you have for the same topic. So Evernote is not really about getting you or stopping you from writing down things on paper. In the contrary, actually. So you can snap a picture of your handwritten note, which I do actually by myself. I still write my meeting notes and stuff like that. I do in a notebook, because as you said, I think it's really creative, and I still believe in that I can remember more if I write things by my hand, like the physical activity. But at the end, I want to combine my writing with other materials or information pieces I have for the same topic. And I do this in Evernote and combine everything in there. So snap a picture of my handwritten notes. Evernote puts it into the notebook. You have all the other material as well collected for the same topic. And it does let you search your handwriting notes. So if I write down the name podcast and on a paper, I take a picture of it, something I do every week. I search for podcasts, and it shows me then that note. So if I'm not a doctor with a really bad handwriting, it really finds your handwriting.
For my handwriting, it's about maybe 60% Evernote can find it.
Well, that's already something.
But it's getting better. I've been using Evernote since 2010 now, almost daily, and it's getting better and better. So yeah, that's a good feature. But let's stick to how you are using Evernote, perhaps in your work. Now you are working for Evernote, of course. So. But still, how are you using it, perhaps professionally and personally as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things which are obviously same within work as within my personal side. But a couple of things I want to highlight is on the work side, or working within my teams and here at Evernote in Zurich and Europe, there are three main things I try to get rid of by using Evernote. Before I go into the use case, how I use it. First is what I talked before already, is the data overload. So I think statistics show that an average knowledge worker searches 2 hours per day. So you spend 2 hours searching for files and emails and stuff like that. I get rid of a big portion of that by using Evernote. That is one of the reasons I do it, because everything is within one notebook. All the different pieces of information, which you always have, are connected. I don't have to search for that. Second is communication overload, especially in teams. I think 80% of work today for a knowledge worker, again, is communication and collaboration. And while that is good, but it's a lot. So you spend a lot of time talking within meetings. I think we all know those Monday morning meetings and emails, like ton of emails. And again, with Evernote, I help to reduce that, because I have everything on one space. I don't have to search for things or ask people to send me something. We have one shared space within Evernote, or a notebook we share with each other, and everything's in there. So I use it mainly to reduce those challenges a workspace has nowadays. And we do create notebooks for projects. Well, I like to do that. I like to create one note within a notebook of a project with a summary of all tasks, all things to do, like an overview note. And then I use that note to guide me during my work. And all the other information I get, emails, which are important, to files, from research, to things I do, I put all of these into those project networks and notebooks. Yeah. On a personal side, I do read a lot. So I read a lot in books and articles on the web. And I like to save stuff I'm reading for later and kind of seeing the knowledge I take in. And Evernote helps me do that too. So I have a notebook called Reading. Mm-hmm. Quite boring, actually. and I should change the title. So I'm like, crazy. And I put all things I read online. I clip them using the web clipper, which you can install as well from Evernote mm-hmm. for all browsers. I click that. It cuts out the article I'm reading, puts it into that notebook. If I'm reading in a book, I take a picture as well with my Evernote app on the smartphone and put that page or those sentences or quotes into that notebook too. And if I'm preparing for a presentation or if I have to talk somewhere about the topic of productivity, which I do sometimes, I go into that notebook and it mesmerizes me. I go in there, I have way over 1,000 notes in there. Wow. And I can see basically what I know. Like I see all the articles, all the stuff I found interesting, and it's always quite inspiring.
I'm using Evernote similarly to review my notes from time to time. I have a tag that I call ideas or something like that. And I review it once a week or something like that. And then, that's a great idea. Or, oh, that was not so great idea. But
absolutely.
I want to highlight, I think there's a space right now, in at least in my mind. You said three main things, and you said information overload and then communication overload. And I think we missed the third overload thing.
We can talk about that one too. In a couple of researches we have done, we came across those workloads and overloads, which is data overload, communication overload. The third one being cognitive overload, which is quite interesting as well. Research shows that in average, you are interrupted every 5 minutes while you're at work. So whenever you're into that state of flow, which we like to talk about, right? You go into that state of flow, you have the impression that, hey, work just goes away like crazy. You just work on it. And every 5 minutes you get interrupted by either yourself, your notifications, your social media feeds, your interest of checking if there is a new email or whatever you're doing, but as well from outside things like people talking to you, meeting invites, phone calls and all of that. Yeah. And it's not that after an interruption, you just seamlessly continue working. It takes about 20 minutes, research shows, to get back to that state of work you have been before the interruption. So you have that multiple times during the day. And I think we all know that feeling by the end of the week. You feel like in a hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. You kind of work and work and work like crazy, come home late, and still you have the feeling and impression you didn't really advance your project. And that is not just because of that, but it is due as well because of those three challenges and overloads.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that. I think it's I'm not sure about the numbers and so on. I mean, that could be a discussion, but I think in general people understand that this, and they can feel it if they're knowledge workers, that this is the case. You get interrupted so much from your flow state. So but let's go in now into Evernote. So you mentioned how you're using it with notebook, you're reading a lot and so on. And what's your experience from the users if they struggle with using Evernote? Because I think it's so versatile. What do you think the main issue is with people, beginners perhaps, or what's the main mistake that people do when using it?
Yeah, there is a fine line in over-organizing something or not organizing it at all. And I think there are many reasons, but I think this is one of the reasons I see a lot in people not adopting Evernote. Or, I mean, this is true for every
tool. Any app, really. Yeah.
Exactly. Every tool. I mean, actually everything, even notebooks or new pens you buy, new tools, new software. It's really about how to start and yourself, how to think about using it. And with Evernote, we make it really easy to add things into Evernote, but then people overthink it. Like they think, okay, I need to have crazy structures set in place before I start working. They get bored because of that, or actually confused of their own structure they build. Or they don't build any structure at all and just start using it, which is okay up to a certain point.
Yeah.
But when you then amass a lot of content, you still need a light organization on it to not basically overwhelm yourself and then lose interest in using a product.
So, for instance, in your reading notebook with 1,000 notes, how do you organize it?
So the reading notebook is really special because it's not a notebook I use actively for a project, right? It's like an information dump in there. And that's why I lose it really deliberately. So I just dump everything I read into there, and then I use tags to put some topics in order. So I, as you do as well, I get my tag of productivity, design, or future of work, or things like that I'm interested. And I'm really free with those tags. I don't care how many tags I have in that notebook. I just add a tag to an article I save on whatever comes first in my mind. And then I go through those tags and search articles. Outside of that, I really use notebooks a lot.
Okay.
So I don't focus too much on tags myself. Again, this is highly individual. Productivity in this area is individual. So everyone has to know themselves how they work. Tags confuse me rather than helping me organize in that sense. So I like to have my notebooks. So I create notebooks really by project. I create notebooks for areas within my life, which is my family, which is the topic of productivity, which is a big thing for me, topic of design, which is a big thing, like side projects I'm doing. I create areas or notebooks for that area, and I put everything in there which belongs to that topic. Then I have project notebooks, which I use for things which have a clear end date. That's basically a project, and I put everything in there. And basically the number one tip I give everyone which starts out with Evernote is to create a couple of notebooks for their active projects they're working on, and really important, create one notebook which is called Inbox. Well, at least I call it Inbox, because what it helps you to do is it gives you a place where you can put something without having to think where to put it.
Yeah.
There's a really, I think inboxes are really powerful up to a point where you just don't take care of them, and then you have 10,000 stuff in your inbox, and it's counterproductive, like many email inboxes. But if you do clean out your inbox once a week or once a month at least, you have a space where you can put things into it, which, and you don't have to use your cognitive brain basically to think, where should I put it, where should I save it? You just put it into your inbox, you know it's at least saved, you can calm down, you can move on with your work, and you know where to go back if you want to have it again.
Yeah. So that was in, I mean, how for the notebooks, how many notebooks do you have? I mean, I feel I've been trying to find the optimal solution for myself for years. And I've been trying using tags, and now I'm trying to remove tags to keep tags as few as possible. But now I'm getting into notebooks as well, but I don't want to have too many notebooks. How many notebooks do you have, and what's your like lifespan for a notebook? Because if you have it for your family, perhaps if you have a big family or something like that, it will expand. Do you have any strategy there? Or?
Well, my strategy here is really to chill out. Like don't overdo it too much. Like there are a couple of fundamental rules I follow. I learned them from Getting Things Done, from the book by David Allen. I'm not following them 100% because following that 100% freaks you out in itself. But I do have a fundamental things I use from that, and that is projects, areas, and resources.
Okay.
These are three things I just learned to understand in all the products I use. Projects are things which have an end date and a clear topic. It's a project about something, and it ends at that date. Things which are important for you have to work on, like your family, like things at work, but they don't have an end date. They're like always. This is an area.
Okay.
And then everything you're interested about, everything you read, everything you just want to save for yourself, everything you need for something, like an invoice you snap a picture of, these are resources.
Okay.
And that's it. These are all the things you need. And then you need as many notebooks for the project as you have projects. You need as many notebooks for the areas as you have areas. That's something you have to define. And then I do that. That plus the realization that a notebook doesn't have to last forever. So if I create a notebook, for our podcast today to just save some interesting things I was writing on or things I wanted to talk about. And once this is done, I might delete them. Why not? Or I might put them into a notebook called Archive, or I might put them into my area because it's now forever and I want to keep it. but I don't have to keep that notebook.
And
something I would like to add here, another mistake I see happening a lot, is not thinking about naming conventions. Let me take on this a little bit. So naming conventions is basically setting a structure on how you name your things. It could be notebooks or tags. It does make sense to think a little bit about that. And it doesn't have to be complicated. This is especially important within teams and for companies.
Yes, yes.
There's a difference of productivity within teams and productivity for yourself, yes, which I'm talking about now mainly. Yep. These are two different things. And on the personal productivity, but as well in the team, if every notebook, which is a project notebook, starts with the name project, every notebook, which is an area of your life, starts with the name area. Mm-hmm. Every notebook, which is resources like reading, like pictures, I like invoices, my passport, ID numbers, whatever. Mm-hmm. These, if all of these start with the name resources first, it makes you so much easier, yeah, to find quickly what you're searching for, using less brain work to think about where to save something. And that's really it. The actual number of notebooks, how many you have at the end, that doesn't really matter so much.
Good, very good tip. Do you have any resource, I mean, top of your mind for people want to read more about naming conventions?
Yes, we can link it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yes, we will link it. You can email it to me afterwards.
Perfect.
So you mentioned here also teams, and now I want to switch gears from personal side to Evernote for business side, because so many listeners, or well, some of the listeners have businesses and want to use or find a tool to collaborate more to solve those three overload things that you talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us what is Evernote for business and
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So Evernote Business, we call it Evernote Business, and that's like an extension of the normal Evernote you already know. So if Evernote is a place you work in, and work is collecting information, whatever that might be, whatever format that information might be, working on that collected materials, building your own stuff, and then third, sharing, either one way to a client, one way to your family, or starting collaborating within a team. Usually work looks like that. Whatever you do, you have these three areas, and Evernote helps you with that. What Evernote Business does then, it gives that ability to do those three things, which work is, to every member of your team or every member of your company. And besides of that, it gives you a border around your company. We call it the administrator console, which lets you administrate your users, lets you pay centrally, lets you audit all the information and content which your team members create,
yeah,
all that knowledge, basically, which is your company at the end. It's safe within Evernote Business. You can audit it as the administrator. If someone leaves your company, that information stays within the company. Many more things. So basically, this is what Evernote Business brings to the table.
So this is like an extension from, since if you are an Evernote user, you get the most benefit, at least from my own perspective, if you use it a lot or for almost everything that you can. And now this is an extension, because if you're working in it, you want to share your work stuff, you want to get feedback and so on. So this is the next step, you could say, for businesses wanted to leverage this.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to think about, let's look at the landscape of tools you use to work. I mean, work being a big word.
Yeah.
And then on a personal side, we talk about you have Evernote, you write your notes somewhere, you plan your projects, your family trips, whatever you're doing. You save your reading material, which is new knowledge, and you do it. You get a lot of inspiration and motivation to do things by reviewing your notes, and your ideas. That's your personal side. Now you go into a company, a classic company. And if you like look at how do the tools look like in a company, or which offers are offered to me from a company to get rid of those three overloads and to help myself, inspire myself, motivate myself, writing down my ideas and collaborate, it's usually products which help you create files.
Yeah.
Right? Like a Word creates Word files, PowerPoint creates a PowerPoint file or Google Doc file, and that's it. And you have to realize that a file is an end product. if we have a conversation, I do not go into Word, create a Word file, write down the stuff I talked with you about and save it onto a folder, which is then in the cloud. I mean, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
So things are lost. Remember, 60% we lose after 1 hour, or I put it into my notebook by hand, which is okay, but then it stays there. I can't connect it, which is important to connect things working in teams and working in the company. It's developing the knowledge of your company. So it's a realization that files are not enough for a company to save the knowledge of the company, to make sure everyone has access to the other people and to work together. And that's why we created Evernote Business. Mm. You can still add attach like file to a note in Evernote, but then you can continue working on it and say what you actually have to do with that Excel file. What is the status of it? Oh, and by the way, here is a picture I found, which we can use at the event. And here is the attendee list. And by the way, and all of these different pieces of information and a drawing of the whiteboard, all of this is within the same note in Evernote. Instead of sending you an email, can you send me the invitation list? By the way, the attendee list is on that folder, and then you start searching. And this is why we created Evernote Business.
Yes, I've been testing it out, and I mean, there's also for the people that don't have a business yet, you could still use the functionality of a work chat, so you can send notes. It's like its own chat program, so you can say to someone, oh, I've been researching this topic, here's my four notes or my notebook. You can share it very easily. I really like it, and I've been using it more and more actually. How can businesses or small businesses they want to try out, what would be the next step for them?
So what we are offering, and again, I think we can put that into your show notes, is a place where your readers can reach out to. We're happy to offer your readers a test, like a monthly test of Evernote Business, so they can test out for 4 weeks Evernote Business within their teams, so they can see how it works without any risks on it. And then our specific pages where we are on the web, where we show some use cases and some from other companies how they use Evernote Business. Something special I always like to highlight. I don't want to make this a sales show, obviously, but something I'm really happy about with Evernote Business, something I'm doing as well in my role at Evernote, is I do help companies onboard with Evernote Business. I consult them on how to make the change process right from their old system to the new system, including Evernote Business, and how to do that. I train them and I keep in touch with them for the lifetime of them as an account with Evernote Business or as a customer. And this is something which we do for all the customers which are bigger in size, like which have 30, 40 users. And this is for free. Like, this is part of the deal with Evernote Business, which you don't get in many other places. And many, many companies, they still need this help because they just don't take the time by themselves to think about how to help a team get started with a new program.
Yeah, I think it's important to highlight at least that that's possible, because I think anyone can say, oh, well, we'll just install it and buy it and it's easy to use. But then, as you mentioned, the naming convention, things like that, that you have experience with, I think that's, it could be really, really important. We will add that in the show notes, a link, a free monthly trial for Evernote for Business. I also want to highlight that I'm an ECC, Evernote Certified Consultant, so it's in my interest as well. But even if I wasn't, I urge you to test Evernote, at least personally, it's free of charge, to try the simplest version. So, but let's look into the future now. Where do you see that things are going, perhaps in general, with your, since you read a lot and you have productivity? You also have some other projects that I want to talk about. But if we just have a glimpse, your view of the future, perhaps with Evernote and where productivity is going from now, because things are moving fast.
Yes, they are. They are moving fast. One thing, though, I think will always be true is productivity is personal. So no matter what tools, what programs, what technology we're going to use in the future, and yes, that is evolving super quick, but it doesn't matter what we're going to use. At the end, it's still about you knowing how you work and you knowing about how you want to organize your stuff. No technology will take that from you, but technology can help you do that faster or more intuitive. And this is something we at Evernote think as well about. There are mega trends coming, like voice, right? We see Alexa, we see all of that. This is something we're looking at as well. How can we build that into our tools? How can we help you find things, write things, and ideate on things using voice? This is definitely something. There is the entire side of virtual reality and basically combining our reality with the virtual one into these blended modes. And for productivity, the same thing. So these tools can help you get to stuff faster. They can help you pre-collect or curate things you might be interested to see. But at the end, it's still about you, when you're going to do that. When do you want technology to help you? And when do you not want technology to help you? Which is important too.
Yes.
And this is still something you personally have to decide when to do.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, I think we have to follow up on that with the voice and all the, how that would be integrated in Evernote. That would be very exciting to see. Also 3D, of course, or virtual reality, rather.
Yes, and machine learning, right? And this is something we at Evernote heavily are looking into it. Already have some things, but we'll do have more things around that next year and the coming years. Is all the information and the power of the technology nowadays and in the future, which are going to do things for you proactively, right? Like machine learning, they learn how you act, how you read, what you're interested with, and in without even having to search it. So maybe even searching stuff will go away in the future.
Yes. So for you persons with a tinfoil hat, watch out. This I'm a very positive person. I believe that technology will help us, but let's not dig into that right now. You're a writer for a startup, or did I misunderstand?
Yeah, somehow. So I do a couple of things aside, so like side project, or how fancy people now they like to call it, side hustles. So I like to hustle a lot on the side. Trendy. Next to Evernote, I was using Evernote already before I started at Evernote. That was 4 years ago when I started Evernote. I was always immersed in that world of digital trends, communication, productivity, design, these topics basically, and how they shape our culture. 2013 or 14, I started a degree, a graphic design degree, next to my job and my business degrees I had there, because it was always my passion. And while learning design and communication with it, I was doing, again, a lot of reading and researching, and it started my own blog.
Okay.
On it, I curated the most inspiring and interesting content from the web and sent it in a weekly roundup as a newsletter to my readers once per week. I worked pretty fine. Currently, it is under redesign and orientation, so I stopped it for half a year ago, but I had a lot of readers, a lot of newsletter subscribers, which is cool. And that brought me to a Swiss startup that work I was doing there. So I was basically speaking sometimes on stage, but as well talking and writing about the topic of productivity, technology, and how it's shaping our culture. And that brought me to a Swiss startup, which is called Muse before. Now it's called Scope. I did a rebranding.
Okay.
And Scope is an app, but as well a website and a news startup, which delivers articles from a variety of topics you can choose straight to your inbox or mobile app. And the special thing there is that you choose a topic, but the topic itself is curated by an expert.
Okay.
So by something which really understands the topic. And those experts select 2 to 4 top articles for that topic per day, and they send to you. So you basically stay informed about the most important topics for you without having to dig into that news black hole in the World Wide Web. And I'm the guy behind the topic of productivity. Perfect. On that startup.
So is it in English, or what languages?
It's both. It's German, English. It's focused a little more on German, but I personally curate most of my articles I curate are in English.
Okay.
That's the productivity side. And as next to it, I just recently, actually, that's funny, I just recently co-founded a pin shop. So I started a pin shop. Yes, pins, metal pins, which is like, what the hell do you want to do with metal pins? One of those little things from the 90s. Yes, they are.
Okay.
And they're coming back. So it's a big, big trend right now. And you can see it in the US, like those design pins. So plastic ones, like the metal ones, the pins. Design pins with really cool, even political sometimes, designs. And I co-created a shop, which is going to go live in this or next week, actually. It's pretty... Your readers are the first ones to hear about that, actually.
Okay, congratulations.
It's called pinfriends.co. And,
can you repeat that?
Pinfriends.co. And what we do is we create limited collaborations with local designers and illustrators, put them on our shop that helps to support and uplift local artists too. And yeah, I have to say that next to it, I have a wife and two kids. Not at least. I mean, they take part of my life too.
All right. So you're writing for Scope, and you also have this pinfriends.co.
Exactly.
And you're also a UX designer, if my research serves me.
I did some of it. So it was, I think, 2 years ago where I did a course in this. And basically a new certificate, got a certification for UX design and started on a couple of projects, always on the side from Evernote, and helped some others build that. It's not something I'm doing currently, but I did that in the past.
So we will link to everything that we talked about, so people can buy these pins. If it's a new trend, I mean, I haven't seen it.
Buy them, like maybe put a badge here, which blinks, like buy now.
Yeah, why not? Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to highlight?
No, I think that's all.
Very good. So we will link to where they can find out more about you. And the final question, or the last question, is, I call it K-Wink, and it's knowing what I now know. So what would you have done differently today that you learned 10 or that you learned the last 10 years? Mm-hmm. If you could have a time machine or something like that and go back, what would you say to yourself?
Easy questions at the end, right? So, I mean, luckily, I think that I did many things in my life right, not proactively, more like they just happened to be right, like having a wife and two beautiful kids and trying to go on my projects and try to build something. But I think what I would have done differently, or would have paid more attention to, is the realization that creating something great for me, even meaningful, needs time and patience, a lot of patience. And not having that leads to some big issues. You want to get results immediately, and you're always worried about what others think, and you want to be the best, and you want to do this. And the world changes so quickly, and actually it doesn't really matter how long you have for things. You need focus to create actually something great. And wanting things quickly and worrying about that just slows you down. Having kids actually showed me that in a painful way. Like, my attention was needed somewhere else than on myself. So egocentric. And this just helped me to realize that there is plenty of time for everything. Taking time to get to know yourself, how you want to work, your own productivity, what is important for me in my life, and then deciding something, like with the pin shop, and just doing it. Doesn't matter what others think, what the trends tell you to do right now. You just pursue what you want with patience, and every day you do a little bit on it, and at the end you're going to have something great, instead of trying to run everywhere and at the end you end up having nothing. And so with that, I think, as I said at the beginning, I think we should all just chill the fuck out a little bit more and just take time for the things which truly matter to you, and don't worry about all the rest.
I like it. Patience and chill out.
Yes.
That's a perfect way to end the podcast. Manuel Marquina, thank you for being on
the
podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to the Flawed Podcast. Theme music is by Erik Rådbo. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes is available on flawed.se/podcast. While you're at it, please give us a 5-star review if you think we earned it. That will help other people to find this podcast and learn about what Manuel taught us in this episode about how to use Evernote and how to be more productive. And if you are already an Evernote user, please send me an email, pl@flawed.se, and tell me how you're using Evernote. And if you have any ninja tricks, please share it on the socials. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. This is Flawed One Word. You can just tag me there, or if you prefer, send an email. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, I am an ECC, an Evernote Certified Consultant. This means that I help people and organizations to use Evernote professionally. So if you're interested in that, an onboarding process, as Manuel mentioned as well in this episode, just send me an email, pl@flawed.se. If you're a new Evernote user, you can use the link on the site And if you're a personal user, been using Evernote for a while, you can improve your Evernote skills by signing up on our online course. It's called Focus Productivity. And for you Swedes out there, we talked a lot about it in episode 47 and 48. I am a digital habit coach on coach.me app. So if you want to get daily feedback in that app online, you can look me up there as well. I also want to thank our sponsors like Pori. Please visit our site flow.se/sponsors to get their latest offerings. We also have a newsletter that we sent out on a monthly-ish basis with offerings, what we're doing, ninja tricks and tips. So you can sign up for that as well. And as I said, feedback, yes, suggestions, just email me pl@flow.se. I want to improve, and I just want to give you a personal thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to me and Manuel talk about Evernote. And in the next episode, we're going to talk even more about Evernote with a girl named Stacy. She is a professional Evernote super ultra user, and she makes a living out of giving out online courses in Evernote in particular. So that would be a great add-on if you like this episode. Thanks again, and I look forward to serving you another great, super ultra great episode on the Flawed Podcast next time. But until then, remember, luck fortunes the brave.